Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello and good evening, friends. This is Jessica French and my co-host, Ashley Winters. Are you there?
I am. Hello, hello again.
Hi, Ashley. And today our guest is Don, a lifetime Shasta County resident and a gay man in Shasta County. And tonight we are celebrating Pride in Shasta County with a special episode for Pride Month. So welcome, Don.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here tonight.
We're so excited for you to come in here tonight and share a little bit about the history of the LGBTQ community in Shasta County,
yes.
A little bit about your experiences growing up here as a gay man and some advices that you might have for the younger generation, and some other things that people might not be aware about. So I guess first, why don't you just start by telling us as much as you like about yourself and your experience growing up here in Shasta County?
Yes. I was basically raised in Anderson. Went to Anderson Schools, high school, Shasta College, Chico State, University of Laverne, and I've lived here since I was about 3 or 4 years old, born in Mount Shasta. And I remember, I don't know if the word's being gay, but just being someone who was another person, another kind of human. And it was never discussed in my family. I'm sure my mother knew. I was an only child, so, you know, I'm right there with my mother and father, and they know at an early age what's going on with their child, their children.
So you felt different?
Well, I don't know if I felt different. In fact, I felt special.
Okay.
Probably because I was an only child and basically got, you know, more than basic family.
Right.
But I never questioned myself. I had many friends growing up. I was popular in school. And so, you know, but that was in the 1950s, in the early 1940s and 50s, and through the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, in Anderson. And, I'll go so far as to say that's probably the same right now. There's some young gay person listening here right now, 16, 17, who's going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I think today's youth have a lot more understanding of themselves and are able to discuss it with their parents and their teachers and best friends. So,
why do you think that is?
Again, it's just a change in culture, television, all kinds of social media acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And in California here, of course, we are so fortunate to have a legislature and Supreme Court in California that protects people of diverse thinking and acting.
Right.
So I remember basically from the 1950s, I remember my mother and I driving around Anderson, and she would point out different things to me. She said, that bar over there is a bar for women, basically women only, and that was probably 1958, 57.
Wow.
And then in the 1958, 59, there was a bar in downtown Reading on, Butte Street. Right behind the Greyhound Bus Depot, there's an alley still there, and then a new building. But that original building held Reading's first active gay bar called the Tiki Room.
Oh, wow.
The Tiki Room, owned by a woman named Sophie.
What year was this?
That was in 58 through the mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was popular because people coming from San Francisco or coming down from Portland, Seattle, would just get off and go into this gay bar. It was well known.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman named Sophie, her theme was Hawaiian all year round. So she wore a muumuu and the place was decorated like Hawaii. It was a very tiny bar, but very popular and a safe place for people to go. Yeah.
You can never, ever, ever go wrong with a bar called the Tiki Room.
Where it's Hawaiian themed all year long.
And then When I turned 21, I found myself driving to San Francisco from Anderson or Sacramento to the gay bars.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those years, that was our cultural center, were gay bars. As like today, where there's most communities have a gay center or other kinds of activities in general. And so, you know, I would go to Sacramento or San Francisco quite frequently and take friends. We'd travel down together for the day or for the weekend. And, yep, those are the memories.
So do you feel like homosexuality was accepted in Shasta County way back then?
Well, you know what? I think it was more like just people just went, that's the way it is. It wasn't the word acceptance or the word gay wasn't part of our lingo.
Okay.
It was just, hey, you're a cool person or you're not a cool person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say most of my gay friends at Anderson High were popular and respected and no danger to speak of.
Okay.
Unfortunately, like today, it can happen. Yeah.
Right. So what came next? We were talking the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
Well, then I started getting involved politically, and especially in Sacramento with legislation and working on Assembly Bill 1, Art Agnos. And that was one of the first bills to allow equal rights for LGBT people.
Okay.
And so...
And which rights specifically, or was it... What rights specifically? Do you remember? What rights?
Equal rights in terms of housing and employment.
Okay.
So it did pass eventually, thanks to Willie Brown.
Okay.
And the legislature, which was primarily progressive-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As it is today in Sacramento. So,
were you living in Sacramento at the time, or were you still living in Redding?
No, I was always living in Anderson.
Anderson,
yeah. Where actually I was a cowboy in high school. I was introduced to horses at age 5, and so when I was going back to high school, I joined my horse and I and a bunch of other friends joined what was called the Shasta County Junior Sheriff's Posse. It was an adjunct to the regular sheriff's posse. And we drilled in arenas, in rodeos, all up and down the state, and in parades. And so I was a cowboy,
mm-hmm.
a gay cowboy. Yeah.
So back in that era, were you aware of, or was there a sense of, like, a political divide or... Like a right wing, left wing pull in either direction in the area, or is that something that's just kind of relatively new in the last 10 or 15 years or so?
Yeah, good question. Actually, Shasta County was blue, BLUE, up until the mid 1980s, when the conservative, religious individuals moved from Orange County to Shasta County almost overnight, built churches, took open businesses, ran for different public offices, and Shasta County almost overnight again turned red since the mid-80s. And so, but now, speaking of that political spectrum, I see it turning to the middle and more to the left, because many people are moving in here from the Bay Area, Sacramento, and from Oregon. And so Redding is changing despite some of the things we see in the paper or go to certain meetings about. It is changing, yes.
And how important would you say that the acceptance and inclusion of the LGBTQ community is to for building growth and economic expansion in the North State?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Again, I want to say, because I'm not going to assume people know that what LGBT, et cetera, stands for. Lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, queer, and then there's many others that have come on board, like 2S, Two Spirit. Those are Native Americans who have both genders in their mindset. And so many others, I can't think of them. Of course, there's allies, but in terms of the economics and the effects that any subculture might place on a community. Shasta County, easily, the population of Shasta County is easily 10%. So if the population of Shasta County is 200,000, let's say, okay, who out there has got the math going? That's 20,000 LGBT people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
That are either open, out, or active, or, you know, just staying at home and being who they are.
I think that statistic might surprise somebody, too.
Yes.
Some people. Yeah, but that is a great place for us to take a pause real quick. We do need to have a break already. I can't believe it. So when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dawn.
Dinosaurs have taken over Turtle Bay Museum with Expedition Dinosaur, Rise of the Mammals. Open now through September 2nd, featuring large-scale animatronics and life-size models of dinosaurs, hands-on activities, and more. Journey back in time and explore the end of dinosaur reign in this highly interactive and educational exhibition from Stage 9 Exhibits. Expedition Dinosaur, Rise of the Mammals, on display now at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hey, Redding, take an inflation vacation with Black Bear Diner's 7 new weekday dinner deals, starting at just $9.99. Tasty fish tacos, creamy fettuccine carbonara, steak and fries, a crispy chicken dinner, beef stroganoff, and more. Serve Monday through Friday after 4 p.m. Escape inflation's grip on your wallet and set the table tonight with good old-fashioned family food at your friendly Black Bear Diner in Redding on Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Okay, welcome back. We couldn't break out our pride session here without some YMCA. We're back with Dawn, our guest. Thank you so much for coming in. I wanted to let everybody know our phone line is open, 530-604-567. If you'd like to ask any questions of Dawn, he'd be happy to answer them. But Dawn, we did want to talk a little bit about some tragedy involving the LGBTQ community in 1999. Mm-hmm. You had some personal experience with that, and I thought maybe it was a good time to remember that tragedy tonight.
Yes. July 1st, 1999. Gosh, it's very emotional, of course, because they were my friends, Gary Mattson and Winfield Mauter. Were murdered by the two Williams brothers, who were also their friends, so they thought, the Williams brothers of Palisadro, murdered them in the Mattson and Mauter home in Happy Valley. And so that was an incredible incident for Shasta County. It went worldwide.
Was it a hate crime?
It was listed as a hate crime. The two brothers were eventually caught after about 5 to 7 days. They were still running around, and it was a very scary time for a lot of us because a lot of us, our names were in Gary and Winfield's Rolodex, which the Williams brothers took from the house.
Oh.
So we were warned by the DA to be cautious and that they may look one of us up. So, yeah, that was horrible.
How did the community respond to that?
The community responded immensely. Everyone of every political stripe and religion came to a gigantic celebration in the downtown mall, which was then covered, the downtown area, and, did recollections of Gary and Winfield. And then several of us started what we call the Celebration of Life and Diversity, and that took place in the park downtown Reading for a number of years, every July 1st, to commemorate Gary Winfield. So, and then Gary left many legacies here. He helped form the Farmers Market. He helped form the Reading Arboretum, Carter House Science Museum, and which eventually turned into Turtle Bay. Plus, he left a wife and a daughter named Clea. And Clea grew up here until about age 19, and she's still working and alive in the Bay Area. In fact, I hope she's listening. I just talked to her the other day. So, that was not the best of times in 1999. But again, it provided a sort of martyrdom for the rest of the gay community, in that we said we're not going to take it anymore, just like they said in 1969 in New York and Stonewall riot.
Mm-hmm.
So out of sometimes out of bad comes good things. And so let's move on to, let's say, a closer time for us, and that was in 2008, when Proposition 8 was on the ballot,
mm-hmm.
and that was the ballot measure that stated if you're a gay teacher, if you're LGBTQ teacher, you cannot teach in California. Well, that did pass, but it later was overturned by the California Supreme Court. So there was another victory for us there in terms of teachers being able to teach in schools.
When that law passed and the state said that teachers who are gay could not teach, what did that do to teachers who were gay? I mean, did you know any that were here? Imagine they would
yes.
be terrified.
Yes, there were articles in the paper, in fact, in Red Bluff and Reading and the North State.
What year was this?
This was 2008.
Wow.
Proposition 8, yep.
Wow, that's so I know. Such a short time ago.
Exactly, and things we can't forget.
Yeah.
In fact, this ballot, November, there is the Gay Freedom Act on the November ballot, which will erase this whole Prop 8 thing because we need to vote yes on that for that ballot measure, the Freedom to Marry Act, which brings me to in California and the U.S. Supreme Court voted in gay marriage, and that was, my memory. That was in 2013, California initiated gay marriage thanks to Gavin Newsom when he was mayor of San Francisco pushing that, and then the legislature voted for it, yes. And then in 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court voted to approve gay marriage throughout the United States. And since that time, there have been 37 countries, and the latest is going to be Thailand and Liechtenstein soon to allow gay marriage. So, across the world, across the United States, when you look at it law by law, I think we're doing quite well in terms of equal rights for diverse people. My theory is with gay marriage is that places like gay bars are basically obsolete and unnecessary to need to go to because people have their own life now. They're equal.
Mm-hmm.
When you marry someone, most people don't know this, whether you're same gender or not, you receive over 1,000 California and federal rights. So there is advantage to marriage, besides tax reduction and all of that.
So,
I figure the most important of those being able to have a medical directive over somebody who may not have their capabilities or capacities, and not having those rights as a married person would really impede like fair medical care as far as a couple is concerned.
Exactly. I've witnessed that here in Shasta County when the HIV epidemic was going through the world in California, in Shasta County. I was an HIV educator at that time, and many partners could not even go into the hospital to see their loved one at that time. Yeah.
That's sad. Yeah. Really sad. Mm-hmm. How do you feel the local schools are handling LGBTQ issues and support for students?
Well,
currently.
Yeah. I would say for the most part, I think, again, because of California laws, I think California is in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, AB 1995, the Safety Act, is coming before the Senate floor soon at the Capitol. And that will allow, that will stop boards of trustees or others or principal superintendents from outing students who happen to be gay, LGBT, transgender.
Right.
So that's going to be a very positive
well,
legislation.
I know a lot about that bill myself, but you bring up a good point. Because back in the 50s or 60s, you didn't have to worry about that. Right? About teachers outing you to
right,
anyone.
Right. Again, it was a let live a life.
So it's
pretty
strange that here in 2024, we're trying to go backwards.
Yeah, yeah. But again, thanks to the LGBT caucus in Sacramento at the Capitol, they've got dozens of bills each year that are designed to protect LGBT transgender people.
Right.
So again, we are lucky to live in California.
We are.
And Shasta County.
Do you have
I went to Red Bluff, and I graduated in 98. And the year that I graduated, my choir teacher, the music teacher, the year after I left, transitioned to female.
Yes.
And there was like a story about it in the paper.
Yes.
And that was literally it. There was no marches. There was no anger. There was no, well, luckily there was no Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So like no like online. There was none of that stuff. And I just, it was something that was just like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. And then that was it. And going from that, it's like going backwards, and it's just incredible to me that we're, as a society, just can't, first of all, mind our own business, and second of all, just, like, this has no bearing or effect on the character or, or quality of a person based on literally any of these things.
Right, exactly. I remember that situation as well. It was in the newspaper, like you said. And I believe that person is still alive today.
Amazing teacher.
Yeah, yeah. So, but again, on the whole, I think we do have small pockets of resistance, so to speak. And one of them is called Moms for Liberty. I think that's the name of it. But there's a great flashback against that. So they're losing ground, especially in Florida where they emanated from. Yes.
Yes. We know about Moms for Liberty. We are actively trying to stop them here in Shasta County as well. But we don't want to get onto that topic tonight because we're here to celebrate Pride.
Uh-huh.
So we will continue with that. But I guess for the last thing, we're about to go. So I guess we better just stop our time here. Dawn, thank you so much for coming in tonight, for sharing your personal history here in Shasta County, for giving us some hope to a time when people just minded their own business and accepted people as people.
Yeah.
That was great. Hopefully we can get back to there.
Yes, and it's getting better.
It's getting better. So thank you so much. Happy Pride Month, and hope to see you this weekend at the festival.
You bet.
We'll be back.
John Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Hello, welcome back. And Dawn is now gone, and we have a new guest, Christina Candelaria from NorCal Outreach Project. Good evening, Christina.
Hi.
Thank you for coming in.
Hi, Jessica. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I know you were just here yesterday with Carl and Linda, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have you back again because it is Pride Month, and we do have the Pride Festival coming this weekend. So we want to talk a lot about that as much as we can. And I hear we have a phone call. Nick is on the line. Nick, hello.
Hey, hello. Christina, I listened to your show yesterday. I thought you did a really good job.
Well, thank you. You
explained things pretty well. I've got a question, though. I'm really curious. Would you say the majority of gay people are atheists?
Oh, geez.
That's a loaded question.
No, it's not loaded.
That's a great question, actually. Sorry about that. I had to move the mic a little.
Kind of put you on the spot.
That's a great question. I would say that's. I would not say the majority swing either way. I feel like people would be surprised to find out how many folks in our community go to church, have spiritual backgrounds of some kind or another, and believe that there is a higher power of some kind. I think that that is a lot in my personal sphere. Of course, this is my limited perspective, but it's very mixed. And I used to live in San Francisco. I've lived in Sacramento. I've spent a lot of time in L.A. So, you know, people of various backgrounds. It's very diverse. There is no, I could not say at all that majority of LGBTQ people are atheists. I couldn't say that.
Well, to me, you know, you're either an atheist or a Christian. And, you know, the Christians, it seems in the Bible that you have sex to procreate. And certainly gays can't be having sex to co-create, so it must be for entertainment. Could you agree to that?
No, I certainly can't. I have an extensive biblical background, so my views on the Bible are a lot different than a lot of people. I couldn't agree with that, but I do respect your opinion.
Well, thank you. Would you think that most gays are liberal?
I could not say that either. So just to be clear, one of the things I bring to every table I come to is that I don't really see things in such a black and white perspective, because life actually really isn't like that. So,
well, I wasn't trying to be black and white. I was trying to get some answers to that question.
Yeah, no worries.
I had people call me and tell me what they didn't care for your show yesterday, so I listened to it on archives. And I thought you guys did a good job explaining yourselves. So thank you for taking my call.
No, no problem.
Thanks, Nick. Have a good night.
Yes.
So welcome, Christina.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the call and answering. And I actually enjoy getting calls where we can give correct information to people that may have this preconceived idea, and
for
then
sure, yeah,
have it be at least some new information dropped in there.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes people will ask me questions like that, and I don't have the right answer, and I don't have a defensive answer either. And so they kind of go, well,
whoa,
are you even answering my question? And
right.
The reality is that life is so gorgeous and so diverse and so beautiful that when you ask me a question about something being this or that, of course, there are some things in the world that are pretty clear and solid, and we still argue over those things, apparently. But
we do.
Generally speaking, you know, that's I enjoy life from a perspective of color rather than black and white. So
tonight we're here to have a special episode to celebrate Pride Month and the Pride Festival going on this weekend. So I want to talk about that. So can you share with us, I didn't get to listen to the show, so I don't know what you've already shared, but what I want to talk about is how, first of all, let's not assume that everybody knows what Pride Month is about.
Okay.
So how about you talk about that? Can you explain what Pride Month is about and what is the Pride Festival?
So Pride Month.
In Shasta County.
So Shasta County has celebrated over the years. We just heard a little bit of that before I got here. Shasta County's celebration of Pride has been a little bit different than a lot of places some folks might think of when they reference, you know, in their minds Pride that they've seen on TV or in the media of some sort. But generally speaking, Pride essentially began with the Stonewall riots in 1969 in New York City. And the official first Pride celebration, and I will say it was official because so many groups got together from around New York City and other cities, fledgling gay and lesbian organizations, and actually said, we're going to specifically celebrate this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a year after the Stonewall riots that they decided to march and celebrate
some people, event. I think, in this audience might not know what the Stonewall riots are.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, so in 1969 in New York City, there was a gay bar called the Stonewall Inn. And the interesting thing about the Stonewall Inn is that it wasn't just, that wasn't just a place where LGBTQ folks gathered to hide out or whatever. The people that hung out at Stonewall were kind of even the marginalized or the marginalized. There were a lot of poor people that hung out there. That was, a center of trans gathering, drag queens, and so on and so forth. And eventually the police decided, you know, they had enough and they didn't like it, whatever they were thinking. And so they planned a raid. They had an individual, two individual undercover police officers went inside the bar to kind of get a visual to see what was going on in there, and they radioed out to detectives and other people out there, and essentially there was what was considered kind of a SWAT team of sorts at that time. And then they entered, and they separated everybody, put everybody in a line, asked for IDs, tried to separate trans folks from the rest of the group, to get visual confirmations in the restrooms, etc. And the people inside said, no, we're not going to do that. This is a violation of our civil rights. We're not going to do that. And there was, kind of a standoff inside, and then people started gathering outside just to kind of see what was going on, and things, you know, led one thing to another, and there became a riot, and that riot actually lasted a couple days. And so the police were not successful, as successful as they intended to be with that raid. And instead, the LGBTQ community was successful in saying no.
Okay. So we're celebrating with pride the success of the LGBT community saying no,
we will not hide.
We will not hide. That's great.
We're not going to hide anymore. And more so, it was, why come into our, if you're going to force us to hide, why come into our space where you forced us to hide?
Right.
You know, and the Stonewall Inn actually has a very colorful history of ownership and et cetera.
And I've never heard this explanation, so I'm kind of a little, you know, wow now too myself,
yeah,
because it makes sense why it would be such a big celebration,
yeah,
and out in,
yeah,
public and in for every average person to drive around seeing. So what can people expect when in Reading, in Shasta County? We have this New Beginnings,
yeah,
Pride Festival this weekend that we're excited about. So tell us what's going to be happening.
So this year we Pride and Reading Pride has been downtown before, in front of the Cascade. And then in this general Market Street area, but and then also like Library Park. This is the first time in a year, so we're back downtown. And when we were starting to plan for Pride, I kind of thought, you know, last year I spent a lot of time on Market Street Promenade. I know that there had been a build for, you know, that opening, and it kind of opened slowly, but I felt like last year was one of the bigger years out there, you know, with things getting finished on a bigger level. And I told my crew, I said, let's ask Viva if we can go downtown, because I feel like, you know, we should be there.
Yeah.
You know, that's where all the celebrations are, mm-hmm, happening now. We want to celebrate the city, the renewal of, you know, old things, and celebrating the old history of Reading at the same time as this renewal, and be in a beautiful, basically be in a beautiful space. Mm-hmm. That's what we wanted to do.
So, for 1 minute, because I think do we still have a caller? Okay. We have a caller, so let's go to that caller real quick, and then I have some more questions.
Okay.
So Nathan is on the line. Nathan?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to call in. There was an earlier speaker that said that, you know, you're either Christian or atheist, and I just thought to myself, what an ignorant thing to say. There's so much more to it than that. You know, there's not two options when it comes to religion or non-religion.
Right.
And, you know, the correlation between the LGBTQ community and religion is the same thing as it is with the correlation between any other human being and religion.
Yeah.
There are just way more options than that. And I just wanted to call in to, like, say that, you know, there's, you know, you have atheism, you have Christianity, you have Muslims, you have agnostics, there's how many religions are there?
Right.
You know, there's so
I did think the same thought when he said that, but
yeah, I just
I went to film school. I studied storytelling and mythology, and I was raised in the church, and did
right.
my own deep study of the Bible, not something that, you know, was forced on me or anything like that. And I haven't, you know,
right.
I actually read the Bible. And I don't want to be rude,
yeah,
but there are a
right.
lot of people who will come and say things to me, and I flat out say, no, actually, that's not true, and it's very easy to prove that it's not true, and it's interesting how often that happens.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, with the I grew up in the church. I went to went to private Christian school. I went to St. Joe's Elementary, you know, right here in Reading. So I was made to memorize scripture and understand the Bible and read the Bible, and, you know, I do know what the scripture says, and, you know, just the Constitution says, you know, freedom of religion, you know,
mm-hmm,
and that means that there's no specifications on any specific religions, you know, it's freedom of religion. So I just feel like it's a very unconstitutional ideology to think that there's only either Christianity or atheism. There's just so much more than that, and clearly the founding fathers understood that. So I just want to make sure people nowadays also understand that as well, you know.
Yeah.
It's Pride Month, you know, and it's, I just feel like you said, that's a loaded question,
yeah,
you know, and it's stuff like that, it's in bad faith questions, don't help anybody.
Right.
You know, they're not, there's not a real argument being presented. That a real argument allows an argument back, you know. Like, when you're actually debating or arguing in good faith, you're allowing the opening for someone to give you facts back to you that you will then actually take into consideration. So, I don't want to waste too much time. I'm really glad you guys are doing this show, and, you know, speak on the LGBTQ community. I'm definitely 100%, you know, definitely an ally to the LGBTQ community, and I absolutely always will be. So thank you guys very much for doing this, and that's, I just wanted to call in and just make sure it was stated that it's definitely not just you're either Christian or you're atheist. That is not the case.
Thank you, Nathan. We really appreciate you calling.
I appreciate your, I definitely appreciate your perspective on that. And I would say, yeah, I think our human tendency is to make it this or that because that's the safety net for us. Mm-hmm. It's easier. And
to comprehend, too.
Yeah.
It's much easier in our brains to process if it's just this or that.
Yes.
A lot of gray in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Literally, some gray.
All right, we have to go to break now. So thanks for calling, Nathan. And when we come back, we're going to get more into the Pride Festival this weekend and what is going on and what you can expect if you come down.
Awesome.
Attention all gardening enthusiasts. It's time to celebrate 50 years of greenery and growth at Gold Leaf Nursery in Reading. That's right, folks. For almost a half a century, Gold Leaf Nursery has been your go-to destination for all things garden-related. And to mark this incredible milestone, they're throwing the biggest sale this year. The nursery is blooming with vibrant perennials and annuals, hardy shrubs, succulents, and majestic trees, vegetables, herbs, roses, ground coverings, along with 1 gallon or larger and all bag soil amendments. Their extensive selection ensures that there's something for every taste and style. And don't forget about their premium selection of statuaries, fountains, and bird baths to add that perfect finishing touch. At Gold Leaf Nursery, they're not just about selling plants. They're about cultivating joy, creating memories, and nurturing connections with nature. Come visit them today and let them help turn your outdoor space into a sanctuary you'll love coming home to. Thanks for voting Gold Leaf Nursery best in the North State. Come check them out on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road. Open Tuesday through Saturday.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Okay, we're back with Christina Candelaria from NorCal Outreach Project talking about the Pride Festival New Beginnings this weekend. So why don't you tell us exactly what's going on?
Okay.
What can we expect?
Back to that now. So We are hosting the Pride Festival itself will be on Saturday, June 22nd, on the Market Street Promenade. We have multiple areas over there, but the main space will be between Yuba Street and Butte Street in front of the Art Hunger IOOF building, etc. We also have space over down the way in front of like Shasta Historical Society. So we're going to be all around that area. We have 70 vendors and counting,
wow.
I believe.
Holy
so
moly.
We have a lot. We have a lot more space than we thought we did. So we want to welcome as many folks as we can that really want to be there and believe in our mission and our allies, our members of the LGBTQ community. So we want everybody to have a chance to be there.
That's really exciting to hear that you have that many vendors and or that many people are supportive.
Yeah.
Great. That's amazing news.
And so we have, you know, we've always have. I feel like, and I wasn't always part of the Pride team, but every time I've been to Pride, entertainment has been pretty decent. We wanted to, like, kind of tool it a little bit, and so we have a couple surprises up our sleeve with that. We don't want to give away any.
So can I ask you, is this family friendly?
It absolutely is.
Because I think in Shasta County, I think some of the naysayers imagine naked men running around with their...
I heard that yesterday. I mean, I understand that. I mean, there's, you know, different sorts of festivals that occur in San Francisco that people are probably referring to.
Right.
And throughout history, people have been pretty colorful in that sort of, in that vein. And I will be clear that I believe in people's right and freedom to express themselves in whatever way they feel, but I also believe in boundaries. Mm-hmm. So this is an all-ages event. We have certain areas that will be cordoned off for alcohol, where you will not be able to take your alcoholic drink. The youth actually have their own street. They requested to kind of be away from the action so they can have... you know, have it be extra family friendly.
Okay.
So they'll be, you know, I don't want to give away too many details right now. Anybody that walks into the festival, you know, will make it clear where everything is.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an entire section for the youth. Our NCOP youth team is absolutely amazing. They are like heroes to the, you know, LGBTQ youth that they work with, and then what they do for our center is just absolutely amazing, and they have been working very hard to make this great for youth. So that part will be extra family-friendly.
Wonderful. So what else is going on besides the festival?
So we'll be doing a march. Again, we don't want to release that route yet. Anybody who is attending the festival it'll be made very clearly where this route is, and that'll be happening sometime in the afternoon. We're going to have the beginning of our entertainment slate will be pretty chill, musicians, etc., and then we'll have a section of entertainment towards the end that is drag specific.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have varying entertainers in the street, not necessarily simply on the stage. So we have that. We have three food trucks. We have fry bread. We have a taco truck out there. We have hot dogs. And we have an ice cream truck out there for whatever reason. I'm very excited about that ice cream truck. I don't know if it's the heat.
Is it just a regular ice cream truck?
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean, it's
cool.
So I'm excited about that.
The kids will love that.
and youth, they have some their own kind of food situation going on back there as well. They have like a... I forget what he has going on, but there's extra food, smoothies, things for the kids in the backside there where the youth will be. We're calling
fun.
It Teen Alley right now. So.
Okay, Teen Alley.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Okay, so that is the festival.
Okay.
Just to be clear about like what kind of vendors we're having, we have everything from, you know, American Red Cross and government agencies to county agencies, mental health and et cetera, information booths from different organizations, several different artisan and vendors that are, you know, selling Pride merchandise and other, you know, crafts that they make, tattoo vendors, your various group of folks that love to come to festivals. It'll be packed full of people that support their allies in our community.
Right.
So beyond the festival, we also have a drag show coming up on Friday at the Cascade Theater.
Okay. Are there still tickets?
There are still tickets, yes.
Awesome. And where can we find them?
You can go to the Cascade Theater website, which is cascadetheater.org.
Okay.
And our show should be the first show that's popping up, because I think the last show before ours has passed, so ours will probably be the first one that pops up. We are calling it Let There Be Light, a drag showcase.
What time is it?
So the show starts at 7. The mm-hmm. doors will open at 6. If you have already purchased or you decide to purchase the $60 ticket, any of the, you know, quote unquote good seats, that automatically comes with a VIP meet and greet. The performers decided they wanted to do that early because they're more refreshed. They want to be fresh for the individuals they meet.
That makes sense. Yeah.
We are opening the doors for anybody that has the $60 ticket at 5:30. And you can go to the upstairs lounge where that meet and greet will be held. The bar should be open by then, and we'll have snacks and all that. At 6 o'clock, we'll start our silent auction and our raffle. So when the doors open, you can come in and take a look at what we have for that.
Okay. Amazing. Sounds fun. What else? Is that it? That's enough, but I'm just asking.
Yeah, our other events have passed at this point. We do have a Stonewall celebration that we do at the end of the month. That is an all-ages pool party at YMCA. That is June, the last Saturday of the month, which is June 30th. So
okay.
Any information that you want to find out that I may have missed, you can go to readingpride.org, and that's our official website. You can find out more information there.
Okay. All right. Well, let's back up to, let's see. We have 4 minutes left. So real quickly then, in 4 minutes, can you tell us about how you got involved with Pride and the NorCal Outreach Center? Like, what's your history with it?
Yeah. Basically, I started going to Pride, I guess. That's how I discovered NorCal Outreach Project.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just became involved in various aspects of community, and a community member here told me that there's opening for a board position. So mm-hmm. last year, I applied for a board position and ended up 6 months later on the board. And then we had decided as a board we wanted to kind of grow a little bit, and, you know, our former executive directors were stepping down, and, you know, we want to figure out how to make our organization a little more sophisticated, grow it a little bit, start hiring paid staff and going forward in that direction. And so they hired me on to start as the executive director in that time frame. And here I am now. I mean, it's been... There's been so much that has happened since I signed on in January that I wouldn't even know where to begin, because we're growing and things are going on in the world and the political landscape. And
can you tell us something juicy that's coming in the future that maybe not everybody knows?
No, I can't.
You cannot.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
how about your, what are your goals? What are the goals of the organization?
So when I came to the organization, one of the things I want to see happen is I want a more extensive mental health aspect in our... So in the past, we ran something called Out for Mental Health,
mm-hmm.
And we were connected with county agencies. And so what I'm going to be doing over the next 6 months is reconnecting, you know, learning, meeting new people that I haven't met and building these connections and creating a more sophisticated mental health part of what we do. That was a vision that I came in with. Of course,
which
these
is
are
incredibly needed. So
yeah,
that's really great information.
So how long we have until we get to that point is to be told, but that's something that I want to bring to the table. But right now, our groups are flourishing. So the, you know, when people ask me what they can do or how they can be part of NCOP, be a part of our community. We want all of you part of our community.
Right.
We have all sorts of groups, skillful allies, transgender groups. We have a new veterans group coming up. Just go to our website and
yep.
you can find out.
All right. Well, check out the website. Thank you so much for coming in tonight, Christina. We appreciate it. I'm excited to see you out there this weekend. And for everybody listening, come to the Pride Festival, New Beginnings, this weekend, Saturday. Get tickets to the drag show for Friday at the Cascade. And thank you all for listening. Have a good week.
Thank you so much for having me.
Change, I can change if it helps you. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.